Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGBM, Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgbm.org. Welcome to this October 2025 edition of Desert Oracle Radio Replay. I'm your host, Roxana, and as you might remember, I was traveling quite a bit as September ended, and during that time, our illustrious creator, Ken Lane, released his latest Desert Oracle show, full of natural and mythical history. Here, from September 21st, 2025, is the Autumn Equinox.
Now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Well, some of you asked for a little tour of the garden, so why not today? The desert willow smells very nice and looks very happy after a good soaking from the monsoon rains last night and the day before, and this morning, and 2 days before that. The wash is all cleaned up of tire tracks, human tracks. Once I was walking at the edge of the national park out past Joshua Tree. After a storm like this, and I saw a gal out there on a bicycle, a mountain bike, who was in a celebratory mood because she said the trail was, quote, hero dirt, quote, like a hero in a story, I guess. I guess there are no previous tire tracks in the heroic epics. The Mormon tea is looking good. A silver cholla growing from the edge of it. This single Mormon tea plant is 25, 26 feet around. And then we have the lesser brush, the black brush, cheese brush, not much sagebrush. There are a few. Desert buckwheat. Now, here's a Joshua tree coming up. It stands not much higher than my knee. It's a young thing, sharing this space with another silver cholla, a young one too, only about 16, 18 inches high. You know, here we have grand old Mrs. Juniper. A lot of juniper berries. Hang on. Come here. Found something dead to eat. The dog, I mean, not me.
Desert Oracle Radio.
picture is worth a thousand words. We stopped counting a long time ago. Call 1-800-272-5051 for your New Mexico vacation planner. 1-800-272-5051. This winter, come to the land of enchantment, New Mexico, USA.
Night has fallen on the desert. It's another week of monsoon season in the Southwest. We often miss the stormy times of late summer here in the Western Mojave, but not this time around. The broken up remnants of hurricane whatever it was called. Let's say Hurricane Bellwether decided to grace the Joshua Tree Metropolitan Wilderness area with buckets of rain for several days and nights. Up in the mountains, there were mudslides and lots of lightning. Everywhere, for a couple of hundred miles around, it was a dense layer of moody blue clouds, a shock after a long dry season of unrelenting sun. When all we got was the distant and beautiful vision of the towering cumulonimbus far away, rising high above the Coachella and Imperial Valleys, due south of our mountains here, toward the Colorado Delta, the Sea of Cortez. Sometimes these clouds are so far away that they're dumping rain and hail and great bolts of lightning upon distant lands. Needles and Kingman, Mount Charleston and Death Valley. Sometimes all you see are the very tops of these immense giants, these great thunderheads. Cumulonimbus that are 60,000 and 70,000 feet high, 12 miles high, unleashing holy terror on the parched ground below. The parched ground hundreds of miles away. Finally, these cloud giants built up high above the Mojave High Desert. I haven't seen rain so heavy here in many years. It was quick, a few savage cloud bursts over the course of 2 days. 2 days of unsettled air, oppressive humidity, and finally the release, the great violence of nature. Now, we already have the false autumn of late August, and then this late monsoon of late September. So it's most likely we will soon be enjoying that particular desert seasonal sensation of wondering why it's 100 degrees again when they're selling pumpkins at the grocery store. That's called most of October. But the nights are longer, and they are getting cooler each evening, arriving earlier, and suddenly, we stand at the verge of the autumn equinox. Monday, September 22, 11:19 a.m. in the Pacific time zone, and the same for Arizona, as the Grand Canyon State stays on the same clock year-round. The Mountain Time Zone states reach the equinox at 12:19 p.m. during the lunch hour if you're at the office at the factory, so get outside. It's good to mark the movement of the seasons, the arrival of the seasons. And it's good to be outside, not looking at a computer screen for a minute. Make a moment of it. Pour out some of your coffee for the equinox. This is episode 51 of Desert Oracle Radio, and I was hoping that might mean something special. Maybe I'd announce my retirement or my cancellation. That'd be good. It would be something to get paid $20 million a year, year after year, to do a TV show nobody watches. Strange economy. Imagine what somebody with ambitions could do with $20 million a year, year after year. And I do have ambitions. Anyway, here we are. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Red, Blue, Black, Silver for these soundtracks. I'd like to keep broadcasting till they put me in the ground. So it sure would be nice to get some capital flowing, some operating capital. Get the books printed, maybe fix the leaking roof here in the studio. Go down to Adobe Road and get a haircut from the barbershop by the Marine Base. That's $20 right there. So, happy autumn equinox to you. Get outside if you can and salute the equinox. 11:19 a.m. Pacific and Arizona time. Monday, the 22nd of September, 2025. 12:19 p.m. Mountain time. 1:19 Central, 2:19 Eastern, etc. And pour out a little libation for she who is freed from the underworld as autumn equinox arrives, Persephone. Now, if you manage to get a little bit of classical education, most likely on your own in these days when even the great old universities only teach human resources, rubbish, and resentment to people who can't read, you might have the idea that Persephone spends the autumn and winter in that dark realm. But remember that the Mediterranean climate is more like what we have in the Southwest in the high desert than the continental climate of Northern Europe. Meaning autumn and winter were crucial for growing crops. That's when the rains came, what's called second spring. Persephone's secret rites, the Eleusinian mysteries, took place each year in mid-autumn. That's a special little bit of history and myth. Especially for the dumb crybabies on Reddit to apparently whine and complain whenever this show talks about old history. I've got a spy who goes in there, sends me updates. I say, don't send me these updates. I don't want to hear this. I want to live a beautiful life where I don't even know Reddit exists. Summer is the time of drought when the green things wither and die, just like in our American deserts, our own arid lands. That's when she goes down below, just like our desert tortoises, who spend most of the summer in estivation, the desert summertime version of winter hibernation. They stay down in their cool, dark burrows until they smell that rare, sweet perfume of rainfall in the air, rain reaching the creosote. And then up they go out of their holes to lap up whatever water falls to the ground and then to enjoy the quick bounty of desert grasses and even little wildflowers that spring up in the wake of a good monsoon soaking. The eastern forests of America are famed for their fall colors, of course, but what about us out here in the arid west? The truth is that desert fall colors can be just as spectacular as anything in Vermont or New Hampshire or the Hudson Valley. mostly from two trees. We have two trees of special interest in the fall colors department. Fremont's cottonwood and the quaking aspen. Both are poplars from the genus Populus. Our aspen is Populus tremula, the poplar that trembles. It's the most widely distributed tree in all of America. And you're most likely to see them in well-watered mountains and mountain valleys out here. Like the dense aspen forest around June Lake and so many other alpine lakes. For a while, the tourist business described the June Lake Loop at 7,600 feet above sea level and a quick drive from the desert floor in Owens Valley as the Switzerland of California, which seems sort of goofy. I am fond enough of Switzerland and have spent some good times there over the decades, but I would not confuse it with the Eastern Sierra. The main difference being, of course, that Switzerland is uniformly green in the valleys, while in the western mountains, things dry up quickly once you're away from the snow zone. But you can go alpine skiing, June Lake, and the now too expensive Mammoth Mountain, and all those ski resorts around Tahoe where the Bay Area people go because the US 50 and the interstate is kept clear in wintertime. No such luck getting across the Sierra south of Highway 50, not in snowy wintertime. That's why the people you meet in the Eastern Sierra have more ties to Los Angeles than to the Bay Area. Although there are commercial flights in and out of Bishop the Mammoth Airport a couple days a week, depending on the season. I am personally awaiting my personal robot air drone taxi to zip me back and forth from the Eastern Sierra down to the Mojave. Maybe just halfway. I want to make everything disappear from roughly Barstow to south of Owens Dry Lake. That should be a 20-minute flight. The hectic part with too much traffic, semi-trucks, and lunatics trying to pass when there's no passing lane on a blind curve over a double yellow line. You'll find groves of quaking aspen, both large and small, throughout the Great Basin and most every length of mountain in the basin and range geology, where you can travel from hot sagebrush and sand to pinyon juniper forest to patches of aspen bursting with color, that rich green in late spring and through summertime, and then the delirious spread of rich reds and yellows. Colorado, of course, is famous for its aspens, and every fly fisher in the Mountain West knows the joy of standing still in the mottled shade of an aspen grove, casting your line, breathing that sweet fragrance of a snowmelt creek, all full of trout. If you're seeking some fall color of the sort I'm talking about, is so much better to find a little grove somewhere out of the way, up a dirt road, a Forest Service road, a mountain trail, than just enjoy it by yourself or with your special someone, such as your dog. Or maybe go with a dear friend, a brother, a cousin, a current or future spouse, your parents if you're lucky to have them around. But that's really it. And again, only if they know how to behave, because if they don't, send them to the tourist spot full of cars and people talking into their phones and leaving garbage everywhere. The typical slob you see crowding every famous place, every tourist trap. Avoid that if you can. You'll be so much happier. Find your own little grove. Bring a picnic or a sandwich from that tasty bakery and Bishop. Set that bottle of wine in the cold, clear water for a little while. Lay back in the leaves and listen to the rustling of the trees above, the great splashes of rich color against the clean blue mountain sky. Fremont's Cottonwood is named for our pioneering botanist and explorer, John Charles Fremont, who first collected a sample of the tree for scientific study in 1845 on his third expedition to California. One day we're going to do a whole episode on John Fremont, who is mentioned one way or another in probably every third or fourth episode of this broadcast. As few people in American history had their hands in so much, or have so many places and things named for them. That was the last era of the all-around man, a time when the swashbuckling leader of the Bear Flag Republic could also be, at other times, a territorial governor in Arizona, a U.S. senator from California, and a rogue operator who was court-martialed for various serious crimes, and a famed biologist and overall scientist, and a frontiersman who earned the nickname the Pathfinder for the many famous routes he walked and rode upon, some of these with his longtime friend Kit Carson. The tree that bears Fremont's name is one of the great natural treasures of the Southwest. It grows along rivers and streams and really anywhere with some of that most precious resource in the West, fresh water. These trees can grow remarkably fast, 20 to 30 feet in a single year if the conditions are right, and for the cottonwood, the conditions are nearly always right. Which is why any good homestead with a water source in the West will have its own grove of cottonwoods. They are a pioneer species, which means they can thrive in the rough spots, like on old ranch land, wasteland to many eyes, but let the pioneer species have a go at it. Desert dandelion, prickly pear, four-winged saltbrush, cottonwoods. This is the stuff that comes up quick. Nature's engineers. Or I guess that's the beaver. That's nature's engineer. Cottonwoods are grown as boundary trees for shade, for beauty, for the birds and insects and other critters it attracts. Pretty much everything but for hardwood lumber. Although poplar wood is used in snowboards, guitar bodies, even ancient shields of war, due to its lightweight and strength. The cottonwood has a porousness, a fuzziness to the boards, and it rots quickly out in the open. But you'll still see it used as lumber all over the Southwest, especially on old farms, old homesteads. It does have this charming way of collapsing over time. Otherwise, cottonwood is used mostly for pulp, printing paper, boxes, baskets, that sort of thing, all things we need. Known for their rich green foliage that livens up every desert valley where they grow, cottonwoods explode into bright oranges and yellows when autumn comes. And because they pop up wherever there's a semi-regular water flow, being riparian trees, you don't have to go far to see them, even in the desert. run off from the highways often enough to feed a cottonwood's needs, even in baked, scrubby wasteland. While typical Fremont's cottonwoods can grow to 80 or 90 feet, the tallest Fremont's cottonwood that we know of stands at a little over 102 feet at last measurement. And it's in Skull Valley, Arizona, over the pass and just west of Prescott, Arizona, tucked up near Prescott National Forest on Old Road North. It's called Bob's Cottonwood, I believe, because it's on Bob's property, and it's right there on the road, right next to his mailbox. And in Fish Lake National Forest in Colorado, there is a single aspen clone that covers 106 acres, 47,000 stems, an aspen forest that's all one tree. It's the biggest living thing in the world. From Amboyda's Isaacs and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting from Joshua Tree. Heard Friday nights from 10 to 11 p.m. on our local station, KCDZ 107.7 FM in the high desert. And this program, which has no commercials beyond whatever weird old tourism public service announcements I dig up, is supported by listeners like you who go to desertoracle.com or patreon.com/desertoracle and send us some dollars. That's how the media landscape functions in these last days. Soundscapes by our own Red Blue Black Silver. You can visit him and see his whole recorded catalog at the Red Blue Black Silver Bandcamp website. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. And good night from the Voice of the Desert.
What do you see in the wild garden around you? I hope you're all enjoying this change of season this weekend. My grandson came over and stacked our firewood for us. Thanks, Riley. And the fall colors are even more amazing as the rains fall. The wood stove is warming the cabin, and it's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay, broadcasting on KGVM Bozeman Community Radio at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. This next one was released on October 1st, 2021, and it is both seasonal and sobering. Here is The Harvest of Souls.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, Now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert. In this blessed month of October, harvest time, there is not much to harvest in the high desert, still too dry and too hot. In the daytime, anyway. But when the sun goes down, when it drops behind San Gorgonio at a more reasonable hour, there is hope again. There is joy. As you wonder for the first time since the month of May, where is my jacket? The windows are open again at night. Leave them open until midday on the west side of the cabin. Get up to the mountains if you can and see the leaves turning orange and red and yellow. Spread yourself out beneath the aspen trees and let them sing you to sleep on an early autumn afternoon. It is the harvest of souls. When the veil becomes thin between worlds, or maybe less of a harvest and more of a diplomatic exchange program, they, the good people, take some of our human souls, and for a while some of the spirits reside amongst us. Do not waste this precious month, this blessed month of October. It is not the time for Zoom meetings and gym memberships. For as long as we have harvested food, the cool months after summer have been the finest time of all. When the bounty was enjoyed by all, when blessings in abundance come from our gods, La Llorona and the Yucca Man, the owls and the elven hordes. Blessings upon us all.
So we don't have to go far from home to see strange and terrible things. Although, if you can go out to the woods, go out to the desert, go out to the swamp, your chances increase. It's Netflix, I think. I think it's Netflix that keeps people from going out by the hundreds with shotguns and 12-packs to try to solve the mystery in the classic American fashion. So if you hear something going on, go ahead and go outside and take a look. Do a vigil. Sit up. Get your friends to come out. You can set up a infrared camera or something like the Ghost Hunters show. EMF detector, but you're not going to get anything to prove it to anybody else. At best, you experience something that will shake the foundations of your reality. And if you're in a place like this, you're probably in favor of such experiences. This is like an eagle lodge taken over by Terrence McKenna or something. Which, because there's so much public land in the place where I work, the Mojave Desert, the Southwest, there's a lot more space for things to not be clogged up by all-night lighting, 24-hour gas stations, convenience stores. It's quieter, it's darker, and the people who are out there are generally out there with purpose. Now, your purpose can be other outdoor activities. Your purpose can be, well, like people like to do in Joshua Tree these days. They like to have their first mushroom experience out there. And I'd say spend a day or two there before you do that. Because you hear such wild stuff sometimes, or at least it's wild to the person. And you're like, well, you saw a guy who lives behind the Circle K. It's not a cryptid, you know, or the thing that appeared to be 6 feet long in your sleeping bag with a million legs. Well, it was about 6 inches long. It's a centipede, and they bite. So watch out for those as well. We have military flares often so that the 17 and 18-year-old Marine kids can run around and pretend to shoot each other. And it illuminates the desert, dry lakes underneath. We have a lot of oddballs who moved out there to try to freak out the squares. Artists and people who used to do light shows and raves, that kind of thing. So sometimes what seems to be the Close Encounters mothership landing next to your Airbnb is just a neighbor 5 acres over who does this every night. But I do encourage people to come out there and visit and put some money into our local economy. You know, the tourism in Joshua Tree has really helped. Our economy used to be the Marine Corps base, motorcycle gang meth, and white flight. That was about it. And now, you know, we got people showing up who are quitting their jobs, who want to be artists, who want to pursue music all the time, sculpture, people who want to save the desert, save the world, join the land trust, watch birds, learn not to freak out about rattlesnakes. It's not hard. Once you see them a bunch, you just learn. Well, if I don't step on them, they kind of leave me alone. And you don't have to kill them just because you're scared of them. You can put them in a Home Depot bucket and dump them on the neighboring Airbnb lot. Usually, generally speaking, this radio show broadcasts from a dubious structure in the high desert, the Mojave Desert, a land of little rain, a land of strange plants, odd creatures, scorpions, the aforementioned centipedes, desert tortoises, and horned lizards. When I was a kid out there, they called horned lizards horny toads, which seemed fun. But somebody, the librarian or something, found out. Now we have to call them horned lizards. But they really do shoot blood out of their eyes if frightened. So don't frighten them. They're small. They don't have a whole lot of blood. This is, as far as Desert Oracle Radio has ranged from home so far, they like to keep us in the desert, Palm Springs and Yucca Valley, Phoenix and Anza Borrego, Death Valley, Albuquerque, the Canyonlands, Slick Rock Country. What makes those desert lands and scattered towns so strange and haunting is the space and the sky, the panoramic landscapes and the claustrophobic box canyons. Miners' cats creeping around your cabin. Strange sights moving low and slow and quiet in the impossible sky. As a land of strange folklore, which we tend to associate with remote wilderness, land that has been cursed by many and loved by few. And it's a big part of the work in the American desert to dig up stories about these weird animals, weird people. It's a tough place to live, but people keep moving there to the cities and suburbs, despite the troublesome lack of water and the ever-increasing number of days over 100 degrees, over 110 degrees when you're talking about the Sonoran and the Mojave Desert. Proximity to each other can make people soft, can weaken their natural abilities to use the wits that got us to this point, whatever this point is. We used to get in handmade canoes and cross oceans. Not for a book deal or a social media stunt, but for the sheer hell of it. What's over there? Maybe it's better. Let's give it a try. But in recent decades, we've mostly lost those abilities. To the point where, and this is true, there's a white guy with dreadlocks and Tevas who's made a career out of explaining how a compass works on TikTok. A compass might have made a difference in this story. Who knows? It's called The Boy Who Vanished. San Gorgonio stands 11,503 feet tall, the highest peak in Southern California. The snow-capped mountain that looms over Yucca Valley, Joshua Tree. It's part of Sand to Snow National Monument now, part of a chain of protected wilderness and protected natural landscapes, stretching across the Mojave hundreds of miles into Death Valley and into the White Mountains and beyond. A herd of desert bighorn or mule deer, the mountain lions that follow, could wander for 600 miles from Mount San Gorgonio down to Big Morongo Canyon, across the Little San Bernardino Mountains eastward through Joshua Tree National Park, north over the Sheephole Valley Wilderness and across Mojave Trails National Monument through Mojave National Preserve up the spine of the Banamint Mountains. In theory, anyway, once we get wildlife crossings built over the busy freeways, hopefully soon. Nearly three decades ago, a troop of Boy Scouts was hiking up to the top of San Gorgonio. Jared Negriti was in this troop, an eighth grader from El Monte, nearing his 13th birthday. Hundreds of people do this hike every summer when temperatures are comfortable at the summit. But like most mountains, that last 1,000 feet is hard. Especially if you've never done such a thing before. Well, Jared was exhausted. The troop leader inexplicably left a 12-year-old boy alone to wait on the trail because he was too tired to continue. The rest of the Boy Scouts continued to the peak with the lone adult in the group. When they returned on the way down, Jared wasn't there. It was July 19, 1991. The hike began at Camp Taquitos in the forest south of Big Bear, a place where generations of kids have hiked and swam and spent memorable weeks at summer camp. Who leaves a child on a mountainside? The expectation is that the adult chaperone will bring the Boy Scouts home. Search and rescue teams from the Sheriff's Department, volunteer groups, and the Marine Corps scoured the mountain for 19 days. They found his canteen, his beef jerky, wrappers from candy, some footprints that matched his shoes. They also found his pocket camera. A dozen pictures had been shot. And when the film was developed, it was established that 11 of the photographs were taken before Jared was lost. They were landscapes and pictures of the forest and the wild mountainside in summer. The 12th picture was of Jared himself, a selfie. In the current lingo, because his face is illuminated by the automatic camera's flash, the search teams decided that this one was taken the night that he was lost to the world. Only his eyes and his nose appear in the photo. Even without the emotional clue of the mouth, the picture is heavy with dread. His eyes are haunted by dire circumstance. It's the last glimpse of a boy who was never seen again. His remains were never found. No bones, no shred of clothing, no shoes. Temperatures were mild throughout the 19-day search, and there was plenty of water running down the mountain in creeks and streams. The young boy on a hike up a Southern California mountain surrounded on all sides by roads and civilization just vanished. Those ravens tell me it's time to open up the haunted phone. I need a volunteer to come to the phone and share a short story, an experience that might add to the sense of dread or at least entertainment tonight. I'm not here. I see someone. I'm not hearing them.
Sibilance. 1, 2, sibilance.
There we go. It's the phone's 70 years old. It's got some problems. Sir, what's your name?
My name is Mr. King.
Mr. King, thank you for calling. You must have something on your mind.
I have a monster story, Ken, you might be interested in.
I am always interested in monster stories.
It's a northerner monster story, but not a northern monster story.
We'll take it.
In the spring of 2017, I went to a trip to the Joshua Tree Park with my wife, Mrs. King, who's right over here for the people in the room. Right, okay. We landed in 29 Palms Inn, as I'm sure you're familiar with.
It's a nice place. They inn at 29 Palms?
We loved it there.
Yeah.
That's the first place I ever saw a Desert Oracle publication. I think that was before the radio show. Is that true?
Yes.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we headed out the next morning at dawn from the 29 Palms Inn. And let me preface this by saying I'm from the Great Plains. I am a northerner, a Yankee. The desert gives me the creeps in general. It's a good kind of creeps, but it gives me the creeps. Anyway, the next morning, around dawn, we're driving through the Joshua Tree National Park. We stopped to hike one of those little trails. Like, not deep, you know what I mean? One of those trails that's like 20 feet off the road.
Like a day hike, a loop trail.
It wasn't even a day hike, it was like a 10-minute hike. Anyway, it's delightful.
We call those a hangover hike.
Fair enough, I'll take it. We're walking along there, and I am, taking a few photos with my phone, as one does. And I put it on the, a popular social media site. A nice picture of some, I believe they're called Coya.
The cactus?
The cactus, yes.
Coya, yeah.
Coya. All right. We do our whole thing. I put the thing up there. We head over to Slab City, check out some real estate in Bombay Beach. You know, all the usual desert kind of stuff. Anyway, 4 years later, this social media site reminds me that I had this photograph from 4 years earlier. Okay? When I saw this photograph, I realized that I was face to face with a yucca man. Like broad daylight, this guy was clowning me. Trickster god type energy. Like right, he was 3 feet away from me. Just like pulling faces.
Describe the monster, sir.
He looked, in the photograph, he looks like a... You remember how people who went to raves in like 1998 looked? Like googly eyes and funny hats and boots and gloves doing glad hands and all that kind of thing. This was exactly this yucca man's MO. And I shit my
modus operandi?
That's correct. I see we both watched Quincy MD.
Daylight sighting, you took a picture. What did you feel? Did you feel anything at the time, or did this come to you later when you saw the other mention?
At the time, I felt only the general kind of awe a northern person feels in this sort of environment. I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel like he was... He or she, hey, who knows? Who can say? In this day and age, I mean, Christ. Why would we? I didn't feel frightened, but I had a desert energy, is what I would say. But it wasn't until years later when I saw it post up on a memory feed that it rattled me right down to my bones, sir.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. And if you don't mind, if you would send me that picture, I would love to see it. I have a collection of sorts.
I will send you that picture.
Mr. King, I appreciate it. We have time for one more quick call if anybody else would like to jump on the haunted payphone. And don't worry, there's Clorox wipes right next to it. A new element to the haunted payphone.
Safe and sane, Ken.
Yeah.
I'll come back here. Hi.
Hello there. Thanks for calling. Who are we speaking with?
My name's Mary Alice. I live here in Chicago.
Mary Alice, thanks for joining us. You got a weird tale for us?
I have so many, and I wasn't sure what I should tell you, but I thought...
Let's try the short one.
Yeah, well, I've got one of a cryptid you didn't mention locally. So I went to high school about an hour away from here in like the Indiana Dunes State Park area, and a lot of us had really nothing to do other than drive around in the sticks with each other. So we saw a lot of weird, but there was a lot of people believe in the deer people. And they live in the national park.
Deer people.
The deer people.
Deer people.
And they make the local paper sometimes, these sightings of the deer people. And they have antlers. And they are these wild humanoids with antlers. And they will run along the side of your car if you're driving fast.
And you saw one of these?
I've seen them. And a lot of people I know have seen them. They're just like, that's just a thing that exists in Northwest Indiana, is the
deer it's people. The deer people, yeah. They travel by coach now.
What's that?
Safety first.
So, I wasn't sure that you'd heard of that one.
I have not, and if you would not mind, if you would send me an email telling me more about that. The deer people, that's something that I feel like I need to waste some of the months remaining of my life.
I'll see if I can pull together some intel from the
Thank you so much for the call.
A newspaper article. You're welcome.
From Amboy to Zyzix and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting from Joshua Tree. One of these days, we'll get a current list together of all the fine community stations that air the show from Alaska to Vermont and a lot of spaces in between. But you can always find it on the usual podcast systems, Spotify and Pandora and Apple and etc. I had hoped to get the new issue to the printers before hitting the road, but... well, you know the story. Somebody's got to drive the truck and make the radio shows and write the stories and walk around the desert every evening hooting back to the owls. It will be the autumn issue, is what I'm saying. So close. So close. Much of this episode was recorded live at Illuminated Brew Works Lodge Number 1 in Chicago. Thanks to everybody for coming out. Thanks to Devin Davis for recording the show, John Barlow for doing the sound, Jason Pritchett and IBW Chicago for the screen print posters made special for the night, and Red, Blue, Black, Silver for the nocturnal gospel music. If you want to hear the full hour-long show about Mothman and the Coal Hollow Monster and the Illinois Black Triangle of 2001 and all that, join us at patreon.com/Desert Oracle. Or go to desertoracle.com. Thank you for listening. And happy October. The finest month of the year. If there was ever anything you wanted to do in the desert and it just seemed too daunting, October is the time to think about your plans again. Reconsider. But please don't start a wildfire out here. Thank you for listening, and good night from the Voice of the Desert.
I hope you've enjoyed our hour together. The Hunter's Moon is coming up on Monday, October 6th, and it's the first of three supermoons for 2025, so I hope you get to enjoy it. Thanks to Ken Lane and Red, Blue, Black, Silver for sharing their work on Desert Oracle Radio. Thanks to the volunteers and supporters of KGVM. And thank you for listening. Remember, you can leave me a voicemail or text at 406-404-6246. And you can hear this program broadcast on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgbm.org at 7 Sunday nights and 9 Monday mornings. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgbm.org website. I'll be back next week with more desert and mountain lore for you. Till then, watch the skies, keep doing good things, stay well, and sweet dreams, and enjoy the rain. You want to go in now? Do you?